there is so much to consider. There's a lot to consider. Can't cover it in an hour and a half. So I'm just going to start teaching on baptism every week in case you came in late. But I'm going to teach on baptism every week. So I'm shoring up where kind of a starting point. What I've taught in the past in our church in regard to this, the first class of our member class that I teach before folks join the church, as of, at least this is as of January 6, 2016. Okay, so you can see here, look at, it describes the church in Matthew. So where did the church come from? What is a church? You know, did it spring up, you know, randomly? Was it organized? Or was there any thought behind what the church is? And we do know that Jesus, he created the church. He has ordered the church. And we see what Jesus has taught us specifically about the church in the gospel according to Matthew. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 19. And you can look there. You can read the manuscript, or you can read your Bible as well. But there we see this. It's the first mention of the church in the New Testament. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Those "yous" there are in the first person singular. He's talking to Peter, okay? And here we see that Jesus, he builds his church, beginning with Peter, who confesses Christ as Jesus Christ, as the Christ, as the Messiah. Jesus is composing his church with confessing believers, and this is Jesus' church. Yes, it's ours, and we belong to it, and we belong one to each other, but it's ultimately Jesus's. It belongs to him. And the first fundamental aspect of a local church is that the people are believers, or, quote, his people, and he will build it until he returns. But notice, he gives to Peter, the apostle Peter, the first apostle to confess Jesus as the Messiah, these keys to bind and to loose. All right, so we see that entering into and some type of relationship to the church in Matthew chapter 16. But now consider Matthew chapter 18, that the church pops up again, and then these keys of binding and loosing pop up again in Matthew chapter 18. So look at this, verse 15. "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church," "even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." So here we see that Jesus is telling the disciples how they are to think about the local church. And all the "yous" before verse 18 are in the second person singular, "you." So it's talking about individual cases. When you have a brother that that you think it has sinned against you, you know, individually. But in verse 18, he changes from the first person singular "you" to a second person plural "you," y'all. You know, so look at verse 18 again. It says, "Truly I say to you all," y'all, "whatever y'all bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you all loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, If two of you agree, of two of y'all, you all, second person plural, agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So the church we see is that kind of that y'all. And it's talking to the disciples. He's talking to his apostles. And the church, it's a body that is actively composed of believers, and particularly those who are repentant. So here, the, quote, brother sins against another implied brother who seems to be part of the larger church gathering as well. Otherwise, this passage makes zero sense. So the church is composed of the believers that we heard Jesus is building in Matthew chapter 16. The church. The other brother won't repent of his sin when he is confronted. If he doesn't repent when it is taken to the body of believers in a local church, he is no longer to be treated as a brother, but as an unbeliever. Jesus uses the term Gentile and tax collector because those would have been familiar outside language terms to the Jews. And Jesus calls this type of decision binding or loosing in this context. And so Jesus is corresponding the binding and loosing that he said Peter would do in Matthew chapter 16 to what the entire assembly of a local church would do in Matthew chapter 18. So those that would be a part of a church are part of this decision of the church, taking it to the church, of the binding and loosing. And we call this church discipline or excommunication, excommunioning. So putting out of what is symbolized in being a part of the body or even celebrating the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 is the next place that we'll turn. So asking the question then of this binding and loosing, what is it? So we know what loosing is, putting somebody out of a church. Well, what's the binding then? We don't know. Kind of that's left up in the air. Well, then we get to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. It says this: Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you. In the second person plural, y'all. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Here we see Jesus open up more of the method that disciples are instructed to bind and loose. First, God makes his disciples and makes other disciples through his disciples. They are sharing and speaking of Jesus with others. So the disciples obeyed this commission and they taught their disciples of Jesus that they made, and then they taught them to obey Jesus' commands. And then they passed it on to the next generation of disciples. They passed it to the next and all the way down to us, right? And second, we pursue binding or adding to those adding those to membership in a church, and loosing, which is the removing of those who are in membership in the church, which is one of the ways that we pursue making disciples of Jesus Christ. Those disciples then are then added to the local church, and the principal method of adding them to the church is by baptism and teaching. We understand from Scripture that biblical baptism is for believers only. So if a person is a brother or sister in Christ, they get baptized and they join a church. And we, as a church, are God's instrument in that binding and loosing process. So here we are at the first members class, considering the basic biblical doctrines that we believe Christians must hold. Now, this is the front end of our pursuit to be obedient and faithful as God's instrument to bind well, based upon what we believe are essential doctrines of the faith. And so then I teach on the statement of faith as those are the things that we agree on as a church, that are the essentials that we have members sign that join the church, that they agree on those things. And that's the way that we pursue to bind people to Christ's church, is by teaching those in summary form, at least, in the statement of faith, and then also committing to the covenant that we have. And that's the second class. So not this week, but that would be the second class that I teach is the covenant class, thinking about the church covenant.